Today we have a special treat. Daniel Manillo's here, and you've already heard from him. I've had the privilege of being able to follow him and his life and what God is doing in his life. And as he already mentioned, it's been 7 years down in the Philippines working with Steve and Dottie. Hearing about what God has done in his life, where he has taken him from where he was to where he is now in the Philippines what God is doing is just tremendous. One of the things that I always take away from conversations with him is that it's never about him. It's always what God is using him to do, what God is doing in his life and in the life of those in the Philippines. So I know we will be blessed this morning. Daniel, come on up.
Good morning. It's good to be here. It's funny, the last time I was standing in front of a podium, or normally when I stand behind a podium, I'm barefoot because in the tribal community, you're supposed to leave your shoes outside the door. So it's a fun thing to be able to wear shoes behind us. So guys, I introduced myself earlier. If anyone came in the room that I don't know, I'm Daniel Manila. Been down, like Robert said, been on the Philippines for 7 years. Son of Mark and Denise Manila. And just real quick background about me. I grew up in a Christian home and went to a Christian school and was very interested in missions. Actually, one of the families that got me interested in missions is right here in the front row. Kevin and Cindy Fitzgerald. Got to visit them when I was a little kid. In fact, I celebrated my 6th birthday in Quito, Ecuador. Had a little train cake. I do remember that fondly. From my parents' experience on the field for a couple years and through the St. Clair's, I always had a heart for missions, or at least I was interested in the adventure of it all. Through the Gates of Splendor and books like that, they get a child's imagination going about the mission field. So I decided to check it out, and being in Quito, I got interested in Spanish, and I learned Spanish through school. Went down to Colombia, South America, in a city called Barranquilla, and we did door-to-door evangelism there. And I saw people get saved, and it was awesome, and my heart was full, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to commit my way to the Lord. And then university happened, and couldn't really find a good group of Christian brothers and sisters there. And so I started wandering away. And then I started running away. And God in his grace brought me back. And boy, when you do a whole bunch of sins, you start to feel pretty bad about yourself, right? And you think, well, I'm too disqualified to serve the Lord in any capacity in missions. But I am still interested in it. And I'm going to take this film degree that I got in university, and maybe I'll help somebody out. And the first person that came to mind was the St. Clair's, because Steve used to come and visit me in my wrestling matches when I was a senior in high school. So that's how I met the St. Clair's. And that's how I ended up originally having a plan to make a video, stay there 6 weeks, bring their story home for everybody. Let me backtrack a little bit and talk about the St. Clair's, because that's really where the story begins. So in 1964, Steve and Dottie St. Clair moved to Manila, the capital city of the Philippines. And Steve shortly thereafter got a job at Faith Academy, which is a Christian international school. And Dottie was at home doing home ministry, taking those that the world has given up on and just not giving up on them. And her ministry in doing that, her tenacity and patience with people is unrivaled. It's baffling sometimes how much time she'll put into somebody, but there's a lot of stories of changed lives because of that. So she picked up the national language, which is Tagalog. That's supposed to be the language that unites everybody, but you'll see in a minute there are many, many languages that are spoken in the Philippines. After some time at Faith Academy, Steve got offered, or actually asked to be the headmaster of the branch of Faith Academy in Davao City, which is in the very far south, which is the city that I live in. And he became the headmaster of that school, and Dottie did the same ministry that she did in Manila, just finding people typically of lower income and just loving them and showing them what Jesus looks like by her, I would call it incarnational ministry. So they moved there in 1998. By the end of that year, they already had a small Bible study in their home that became a church, or more of a formalized real service. And it was called Bible Fellowship Davao. And so Bible Fellowship Davao this September will be celebrating their 23rd year of existence, which is amazing, because it's to see what God is doing in that city, especially through the St. Clair's, is incredible. So that story, knowing a little bit about that story, was what brought me to the Philippines. Actually, I was supposed to go with two other people that you guys know, but just through some unfortunate circumstances, those two people could not make it. And I ended up going to the Philippines alone, kind of wondering how I was going to film something when I had nobody to help me. Little did I know that wasn't God's plan. The Philippines is on a stronger electrical current than us. We have 110, they have 220. I had all my batteries plugged into a surge protector. And one day there was a blackout and then a surge that burned all of my batteries. And so I have, you know, they're very specific camera batteries, specific audio batteries, specific light batteries, things that I can't get shipped, especially in the 6 weeks that I was supposed to be there. And so I said, all right, God, what now? What am I supposed to do? And so I just did what everybody else was doing. Dottie needs help here, I help over here. Steve needs some help here, I help over here. We had a Christmas party. They needed a bunch of people wrapping stuff. I have two hands. And I just started just hanging out there. Well, people started wanting to make friends with me, and they wanted to teach me their language. And one of the young men, middle age, he was about 30, 33 at the time, actually. Yeah, I think he was my age. He was the full-time worker, and he needed a friend. And so we started hanging out. And from talking to him, I realized that burnout was right around the corner. And so I tried to encourage him in every way that I knew how. You know, cross-culturally, sometimes it's a little tough. And the Lord put on our hearts through praying together that we should find a group of young men and start pouring our energy and time into them so that they can be the next generation of leaders at Bible Fellowship Davao. So we worked together. We found some young men working with Steve as our elder. We discipled some young men, and to this day are now the church is basically self-sustaining, where Steve sits as more of an administrative role. It's kind of an elder, but all the work gets done by these five young men and their significant others and other young people who have stepped up. Those young men on their own have now decided to start training the next crop. So we have 14, 15, and 16-year-olds doing Bible study with 23, 24, 25-year-olds. And these 20-year-olds are showing through their actions the importance and the joy of what it is to be a part of a healthy community, a healthy church community. It's amazing. So while I was there during those 6 weeks, and as the time got closer, all of that training did not happen over the 6 weeks, but the beginning of it did. I kind of felt like there was a mission on my heart now, but I didn't know what that looked like. And so I prayed about it, and I kept having this feeling that I shouldn't go home. And so I called my dad and I said, look, I know I have this plane ticket home and it's like super expensive, but I'm really feeling strongly that the Lord has really been putting this almost a physical weight on my heart to stay. And he goes, well, yeah, I was hoping that you would say that. Of course you can stay. Stay there. Stay as long as you want. Stay, just stay there. It's good for you. So I said, okay. I talked to Dottie. Dottie, kind of feeling like I shouldn't leave. I don't know. it's just a real feeling I had. She goes, oh, yeah, I've already prayed about it. God said you're staying. Okay. So I stayed, and I kept doing what I was doing, making relationships and talking to people. And it's funny how God always equips you for the next thing, but you never know what that next thing is. So you don't know why you're being equipped. You're like, why am I going through this? Well, I had a couple people that were very insistent that they try to teach me their language. And so as a communication exercise, they would quiz me all the time. And then they'd laugh at me if I didn't. They're like, oh, it's so cute when you mess up. I'm like, hey, that's not how you encourage people. But I wrestled through it and eventually figured it out where I could at least read the language and kind of understand what was going on around me. And so Dottie said, great, well, it's your time to lead this ministry. And this was May. This was in May of 2015. I'd arrived October of 2014. End of October, pretty much November. Anyway, so I said, well, I don't know if I'm prepared for that. Well, she said, well, you don't have a choice because everybody's leaving on a trip right now. And you're the only person that'll be left. All the youth and all the leaders are leaving to go climb waterfalls and climb through caves. And I was like, but I want to do waterfalls and caves. That's why I'm here, right? She's like, no, you're going to lead this ministry. So the ministry still goes on. We call it morning prayer. Morning prayer is a time where mostly homeless and low-income people who sleep in the city and around the church come and we pray together, get a little bit of a word devotional, and then there's coffee and bread. So little incentive. That was the ministry I was supposed to run by myself. And so she said, don't worry about it. Just here's the passage for today. Read it in Cebuano. That's the name of the language. She said, just read it and start the prayer and they'll know all the things. And at the end, pass out the bread and coffee. Great. That goes on. And in the middle of the end, while I'm passing out bread, there's a man standing outside waving at me, trying to get my attention. This man didn't look like the other homeless people that we work with. Physically looked different, but also his dress, his attire. And he had this box of jewelry and pearls. And he was trying to get me to buy a strand of pearls, but he couldn't communicate with me very well and vice versa. And at just that moment, Dottie pulls up and speaks Tagalog to him. And the guy understands and he invites us to go to his community. Turns out this guy is part of an ethnic group called the Sama Bajau. They are the most outcast people in the Philippines because they don't have much of a livelihood. They're on the streets begging all the time and they smell funny because they live in, you know, they live over the ocean and their standards of hygiene are a little bit different. And so they're pretty much shunned by the rest of society, rest of Philippine society, especially. And on top of that, they don't speak most of them don't speak the local languages very well. So we go to this guy's house. He says, there's a pastor I want you to meet. Great. Go into this community and it's absolutely, totally different than anything I'd ever seen in my life. It's you enter the community through a bamboo bridge suspended over the water. All the homes are on stilts made of bamboo suspended over the water. Everybody is wearing these bright colors, different language, different way of life. They're a little bit rougher. Much less civilized, I guess you could say. And it just overwhelmed my senses. And in the midst of all that, I met this man named Bong Pacheco. So Bong had been, he gave up his life, he gave up what he had as a Filipino to live and to minister to the Sama Bajau because no one wants to hang out with them and no one wants to sit and spend the time to explain to them how awesome Jesus is. And so he moved there to live that out. And there are now 7 different Sama Bajau churches around the Davao area because of his tenacity and his relentlessness in sharing the gospel and raising up young leaders who can become the heads of these churches. So before I go on more about this ethnic group called the Sama Bajau, I have a video. It's about 8 minutes, 9 minutes long that I'd like you guys to see. I worked on it with my friend Nick. He's a Filipino. When you do video projects, you need somebody. And it's been really cool to work with this. He is not a professing believer. He wasn't at the time. And through working together, we've had some amazing talks. I know this is kind of a side note, but when you see him, pray for him in our conversations, because he's been asking a lot of really, really good questions lately. Anyway, all that to say, here's a short video about the Sama Bajau and their particular struggles in the Philippines. So now that you guys got a little glimpse, sorry about the audio. Most of that was filmed on a cell phone. Actually, all the audio was filmed on a cell phone. Now that you guys have seen a little bit, one of the things that was mentioned there was literacy. So in the same way that God put someone in my life to teach me the local mainstream language, Cebuano, I think by day, I think the second day I was ever in the community, I was asked to preach at one of the house churches. And I was like, how? I don't speak the language. And so he goes, no problem. You stay at my house and you share with my family and we'll try to translate for you as best as we can, kind of mix a little bit languages here and there and see what is, we'll figure it out. But also I want my daughter to sit down with you, and her and her husband are going to sit down with you and teach you our language. And I was like, okay. I didn't think I was going to be working with them for very long. And he goes, every Wednesday night, I want you to come. I was like, oh, whoa, okay. No, this is, that was just tonight. But okay. So then every week I would spend the night at his house and stay up to the early morning hours, painstakingly learning this language. And I'm thinking, God, what am I doing here? Like, why? This is hard. And it's uncomfortable. You know, it's not like the amenities in a Bajau home are, you know, expansive. So I was like, well, I'm here and this is what we're doing. I'm just not going to say no, and we'll see where God takes me. Well, eventually, by picking up the language, the opportunities started rolling in one after the other. It was opportunities to speak. It was opportunities to work with Bible translation and to do comprehension checking. Also, the government of the Philippines reached out, specifically the Department of Education, and asked me to help facilitate, find people, native speakers and translators, get everybody together and develop an early child curriculum, because it's easier for children to learn in their native language for the first couple years before they get put in a school where they'll be learning a secondary, where everything is operating in a secondary language for them. The other thing that it really gave me the opportunity for, and for me, the most important, was to build relationships with people. That's where you really see the gospel flourish, is when you show somebody and you share with someone from the word. And then like Uncle Guy shared earlier about the scales falling off, and they go from not wanting to shower so much, occasionally only brushing their teeth, not really having any plans for tomorrow, but just trying to survive. And when those scales fall off and they're like, oh, I'm loved by the creator of the whole universe and I didn't have to do anything, it changes their whole life. They start sending their kids to school because they're like, hey, we have a hope and a future. They start taking care of themselves. They start showering and brushing their teeth and just taking care of themselves. All the things that these humanitarian groups try to go in and teach, they go, well, who cares? But when they receive the Holy Spirit, it changes not just their outlook on life or anything. It changes their habits and how they live. And just to be a witness of that is such an honor. To be there when someone receives and that aha moment comes off and the scales fall off their eyes, it's just like, that's really cool. I've never seen a baby being born. I'm sure that's way messier, but you know, in a way you're seeing someone be born again, and it changes who they are. It's incredible. So that is the Sama tribe. I want to go back a little bit. I touched on Stephen Dottie's ministry at Bible Fellowship Davao and some of the young men that are leading there. We had a very interesting conversation, interesting situation happened right before the pandemic. Here's a new story for you guys, because I know you've heard this before, all the other stuff. We have had BFD has been at that building. Bible Fellowship Dava has been in the building that they started in for 21 years. And one day, the owner of the building, who was giving it to us at a ridiculously low price, passed away, and his family, who had no connection to the Philippines, decided to sell the building. Now, at this point, the church is probably 75 members, and houses are small, so you can't move everybody into somebody's house. So we had to figure out what to do, and we were all a little bit shaken up about it. We met at Faith Academy for a little while, and then we prayed to try to find a building. And we found this little house, and it didn't fit anybody, and it was very, very uncomfortable. And we're just like, Lord, what are you doing? And we started seeing people kind of not show up to church so much because there wasn't room. Well, the Lord blessed us with a building, and right as we got the building, so was the arrival of COVID-19. And we thought, great, now we're really not going to have any people. Everyone's fading away. We just get this new building, we don't even get to break into it. And then now we have a pandemic. So during the pandemic, the young men stepped up. We figured out a way to put everything online, and we tried to spread the word as much as possible. During the first part of pandemic lockdown, it was very, very strict, no Sunday services. So we had to sneak around and film it on Friday nights, and it was very, very stressful. Fast forward a few months, and things start lightening up, and we can ha start having Sunday service again. We had 100 in attendance, and those are just the adults. When we had youth group time, we went from 15 to 50. Part of that might be the fact that everyone was cooped up, but a lot of people said, you know, it was really an encouragement to me, sitting at my home and worrying about the future, and then being able to go on YouTube and hear you guys tell us that from the word, that there's nothing to be afraid of, there's nothing to be afraid of, and that God's got it under control. And I really believe that. And so the church during the pandemic actually expanded, because there aren't bad things. There's just things God uses to get you where He wants you to be. And I have so many stories like that throughout the Philippines, where things look like they're going to get bad. And in fact, I could tell you stories of fires and floods and deaths and all different things that seem on the surface, and especially at first, horrible. You know, you're just like, God, what are you doing? Like, what? How am I supposed to function now? Like, this out my whole foundation. And He goes, yeah, where's your foundation? Put it in me. Just trust me. And when you do, you just see abundant blessing. It might not come at first, but I can attest in my personal life that when you let God lead it, He never leads you astray. And so there's one more video I want to show you. I'll give you some background. So it was our 22nd anniversary at Bible Fellowship Davao. It was there. We made a video, but the video is rather long. It has a lot of people because we could only visit people individually through visitation. We got special passes as, you know, church workers to visit people. And we got people sharing their favorite verse and a word of encouragement. But it's in another language and it's really long, so I cut all that part out. And so you'll see the beginning part of the video kind of give you a look at Dottie's home. You'll get to see the building. It's actually a house that we use as a church, but it's a very large house. And you'll hear at the end a couple words of encouragement from the St. Clairs themselves. So he dim the lights again.
I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle.
can't get over. My name is
anniversary Bible fellowship.
This is my testimony from death to life. Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify.
Happy anniversary Bible fellowship. Acquaintances come back and
all right, well, looks like we're having a little bit of an audio issue. Didn't have this last time.
Tremendous challenges and moving.
So I'll just go on. hopefully we can hear
what God did through that.
If not, they gave some words of encouragement.
Says it all.
I can give you guys possibly a copy of that, maybe on your own home audio. You might be able to hear it. Anyway, I'll talk about the St. Clairs for a moment. They're doing very, very well, all things considered. I mean, they've been in the Philippines for 57 years and had still having an amazing impact on everyone that they meet. Steve is still very active at Faith International Academy. And though he was a little bit worried about making the adjustment to online classes, has still had quite a presence and a connection with young men. He has five young men that he meets with Bible study. And it was the five young men's, there was their idea. Because Steve has such a presence and he's so full of wisdom, they said, hey, even though it's pandemic, can we meet at the school and have a Bible study with you? And so that's really cool and encouraging and an encouragement for Steve because, during pandemic protocol, it's hard to feel like you can really connect with people. And that's the St. Clair's forte, is connecting with people. Dottie runs things from her home and finds ways to give people a chance to get back on their feet by providing different jobs. Some of those include folding tracks. So she'll print out a bunch of tracks and have them fold them, making little wordless book keychains and various other things just to keep people around, exposed to the word, and to show people that God is a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances, because we have a God who's patient with us and not ready to let us go, even when some of these people have let themselves go. So it's an amazing ministry that the two of them have there until now, and especially during the time of pandemic. Do I get a little Q&A time? Robert? No, not so much. Okay. So one of my favorite things is to field questions, because I'm not always sure what people want to hear, and it can be any question. I do like to hear what people are interested in knowing and happy to give an answer. So if there's any questions out there, I would love to answer them. Even if it's something as simple as, what's your favorite food? There you go. So they have this, are you guys familiar with ceviche, where it's fish? Okay, so they have a version of that with fresh ginger, daikon radish, and fresh tuna, and it's delicious. So it's called kini lao. It's my favorite. Anyway, yeah. That's a good question. So as far as equal opportunity offered, absolutely. There are a lot of cultural things that keep people from coming to us or even spending the time to learn how to read. So back to the literacy thing, you saw all those men with Bibles. 10 years ago, none of them knew how to read. They learned to read because they wanted to learn to read the Bible. That's why they wanted to learn how to read. We've started working with children at a younger age so they don't have to make that tough decision. But there are a lot of cultural things that keep people from coming to us, because if you come to someone and you need help, then you're admitting that you need help or that your way of life isn't, that it needs improvement in some way. And a lot of people aren't willing to admit that. And so the people that do come to us are, it's amazing to watch their lives change. And we do try to draw people as much as we can to expose them to the word, doing things like food handouts, or you know, during Christmas time when a bunch of donations come in, letting everybody dig through the donations and grab what they need, and then we use that time to share. But there are, same with everywhere, human nature is prideful and we don't like to admit that things need to be different in our lives. So that's a great question. The short answer is yes, equal opportunity for everybody. Not everybody takes it. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That one is, it's called a sea cucumber. And it comes from the sea, but is not anything like a cucumber. It's actually one of this group has been around in writings, especially from the Chinese, at least 1,000 years ago. And the Chinese used to go visit them for the sea cucumber. They dry it and they sell it to the Chinese because the Chinese think it has medicinal value. Go figure, right? The weirder it is, I guess, the more medicinal it is. So that's something to this day that they still gather from the sea and we eat it. And it's interesting. Think of calamari. It's about that. It's an animal. Yeah. So it's a, it's like a big slug that sits on the bottom but they're tough. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. So that's got to be a two-part answer. Well, generally speaking, the thing that is the biggest difference to the religion that anyone in the Philippines sees, so the mainstream Filipinos would be Catholic, right? But they're culturally Catholic, right? A lot of them are Easter Christmas type people. And then the Sama... The Samabaja are exposed around them, and many are Muslim, but again, culturally Muslim. And so the thing that makes people start to ask questions is when somebody lives exactly what they believe, or at least as close as we can, right? Because it's not that easy living as Jesus wants us to, but that living that way and having an incarnational ministry, serving people and being humble and meeting them where they are, is the thing that gets people to start asking questions like, why? Here's a story. Actually, I was going to share it this morning. It was the other story that I was going to share during the Lord's Supper. We're working on a house one day that fell down from the ocean, the waves. There was a storm that came, and one of my friend's houses fell. And so I was like, well, let's fix it. So I'm out there, we're fixing it. And while I'm hammering, between hammering, a guy comes up to me and he goes, so how much is he paying you? And I go, paying me? Nothing. He goes, so you're working for free? I was like, yeah, he's my friend. And he said, he called me a word that I didn't know. And he said, you're Juril. I said, okay. So I went over to Bong and I said, hey Bong, I got a new word that I need you to explain to me. It's this word Juril. And he goes, oh yeah, that's an insult. It's a derogatory term. And I said, what do you mean? Why is he making fun of me? I'm just trying to help build a house. He goes, yeah, because you're doing it for free. So sat. Quality trait that's highly valued in the community. Being able to fend for yourself and just knowing how to operate among people and being savvy is a personality trait that's highly favored. So if somebody is easily taken advantage of and is doing stuff for free, then they're an idiot. And so I was thinking about that. And so the next time I preached, I talked about Isaiah 53 and how the one that we're supposed to be like was Juril for us. He came down from heaven, having all the rights and powers that anyone could ever want, and came down and gave his life for people who hate him. That's real Juril, and that's my... So the word is guru. It's like guru, right? They use the same word for teacher. And I said, that's what my guru teaches us. And I showed him the word where he died for us while we were still sinners. And using that word and having that cultural, getting called that made a cultural bridge that made an impact in a lot of people's lives when you can make the connection to the gospel. It's awesome. So in short, the approach that we make to people is try to love first and see how they respond. And even if they don't respond, keep loving, because that's when people go, wait a second, this is real. You're not just trying to snooker me into some, you know, paying my 10% every week or whatever, like some of the other religions try to do. You actually care, and I don't know why, and that's intriguing. And that's where you can start talking about why. So, anyone else? So, pray for Bon Pacheco. He is kind of the pastor of pastors. He's kind of the Paul to the Sama right now. He's the various leaders current leaders were disciples of him, and he just tries to help them with their needs as they struggle. Dealing with people is very difficult, especially in pastoral ministry. I mean, anyone in it could attest to that, even here in the U.S. So pray for him to get rest, enough rest, and to make the right decision at the right time. Pray for Steve and Dottie as they have the rest of the year under these pandemic protocols, at least. So there's challenges that come with that. And if for some reason either one of them was to get COVID or the church or anything like that, it would be a really big deal with the government. We might lose our nonprofit status. They might make the St. Clair's responsible for hospital costs. So, but again, there aren't any bad things, just things that happen to get you where God wants you to be. But I do like to think that we can pray for protection for them and for their ministries as far as like health. And then for me personally, during this time, pray for wisdom as I make decisions. I wasn't expecting to stay here till the end of the year or into next year. And to be honest, it's kind of nice because you don't realize how much you miss people until you're gone. And it's so nice to be back with people that I've known since I was knee high to a grasshopper, not much taller than I am now. So pray for wisdom as I try to navigate my time here, using it wisely, divine appointments, you know, opportunities to speak to people. A lot of people will ask questions, and I feel like, you know, as best as I can, I want to give a biblical inspired answer. And so just just awareness when those opportunities are around, and the energy and fortitude to actually tackle those, because sometimes you see a situation you don't want to deal with and God says go deal with it, and just to be obedient. So wisdom and strength, and just praying for those divine appointments. That there's a few people that I have on my heart that God's put on my heart, and just hopefully that I'll have a chance to talk to them. Any other questions? No? Okay. With that, let me first of all thank you guys for this opportunity. It's so great to see a lot of you guys I haven't seen in years, and some of you are new, and it's nice to meet you guys. And for this opportunity, I thank you. I hope it is an encouragement. And so with that, let me close. Father God, in the name of Jesus, the stuff that you're doing that we can see is amazing. And Lord, we thank you for the things that we can't see, because we know that you're always working around us, and you're moving in and out and showing, pulling us different directions, the way that we should go, putting people in front of us so that we can be ambassadors of the ministry of reconciliation, that we can take part in this amazing thing that you call salvation, not just saving people to have a home in heaven, but also saving people, as Robert said, from the power of sin here on earth. And we can be free. We can live in freedom, Father. And that freedom only comes through you and through the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.